Elsewhere, anti-regime protesters in Bahrain have once again taken to the streets despite a ban on protests and gatherings. People gathered in the capital, Manama, that is, to demand an end to the dictatorship of the Al-Khalifa regime. Protesters called on the prime minister to resign to pave the way for a democratically elected government. They also called for an immediate end to sectarian measures imposed on the country's Shia majority. The rally comes a day after a protest calling for the king's downfall turned violent as regime forces fired tear gas and live rounds, injuring several people. Bahrain has seen frequent demonstrations which have left over 100 people dead and many more injured since 2011. To discuss that a bit further, we're now joined by Colin Cavell, who is a former lecturer at the University of Bahrain. He's joining us live now from West Virginia. Mr. Cavell, thanks a lot for joining us. Now, you know, this part, I want to talk about this part, especially because you've lived in Bahrain. You know, people have called for an end to sectarian measures imposed on the Shia majority in Bahrain. Did you see evidence of that while you lived in Bahrain as well? And do you think that that will be addressed by this government?
Absolutely, Vicar. There was continuous evidence of the discrimination against the majority Shia population, over 70% of the population. But as well, it was a discrimination not only against the Shia, it was against the Sunni as well. In other words, what you have in Bahrain is the majority of the population, both Sunni and Shia, who want the downfall of the king. They want to get rid of monarchy. They want to get rid of one family ruling over their country for over 230 years. They want democracy, just like Iran has democracy, just like Syria has democracy, just like the United States has democracy, just like the UK has democracy. They want some say in their government. Now, all democratic governments don't have the same type of democracy, but at least they strive for that. They strive for the ideal that people can have a say in their government. And in Bahrain, you have no say. In Bahrain, what the government does is try to divide the people along sectarian lines, destroy the Shia mosque, imprison the Shia leaders, and any Sunni leader, like Ibrahim Sharon, who's one of the strongest Sunni leaders in the Democratic National Action League, he's in prison as well. So anybody who speaks out in favor of the people is in prison, is tortured, and if you continue to do it, they will murder you.
Right. Interestingly, the way you mention it, it seems that the Bahraini government itself is using sectarianism as a weapon. And even Obama mentioned this in his UN Assembly speech as well, and that angered Bahraini authorities. Why are they so sensitive then to this quite legitimate criticism of how they're acting towards their own people?
Well, Vicar, when you look at the whole action of the Arab Spring, it has shaken the House of Saud, it has shaken the Al-Khalifa regime and all the Gulf monarchs to their knees. And what has their response been? Their response has been a counter-revolution to try to push back this movement toward democracy. We saw that they funded the military in Egypt to overthrow the democratically elected government. They gave over $8 billion to the military once the coup d'etat was completed. What did they do in Syria? They have been funneling a civil war in Syria that may have initially called for some democratic reforms, but then they started shipping in jihadists, unemployed people from throughout the Arab world, promising their families money and support, and flying them to Turkey, slipping them into Syria.
I do apologize, Mr. Cavell, but it seems that we will have to leave it there for now. But of course, we do, as always, appreciate your insight. That was Colin Cavell speaking to us live from West Virginia.